This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Doesn't happen often, but sometimes Democrats are able to win in rural areas. Recently, Carol Glanville won in rural Kent County, Michigan, flipping a long-held Republican seat. And notably, Glanville won in a special election against an opponent who made really inflammatory statements against Jews and rape victims. But she still won. She is here with us now to talk more about how she won and her plans when she has to run again in the upcoming August primary and November general elections. Rep-elect Carol Glanville, thanks for joining us on Detroit Today.
Oh, for sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So why do you think you were able to flip this Republican seat, the 74th state House district? Tell us a little about that district and tell us what you did to convince them to vote Democratic.
Yeah. So for those who don't know the district real well, I am on the west side of Grand Rapids, and about a third of the district is suburban ring cities for Grand Rapids, Granville, Walker, and the rest of the district moves into some very rural areas, heading up north into past Rockford, into Cedar Springs, Siloam Township, Tyrone Township. So it's an interesting, and this is pre-redistricting, right? So it's a perfect example of why we needed redistricting, because obviously the needs of the, there's two very disparate constituencies within that district. And so as I approached this election, knowing that it was a 39% Dem seat, and there was, you know, it was deemed unwinnable for a Democrat, I just went out with my message of very common sense, community-centered leadership and working on my experience with the community. I was commissioner in the city of Walker for 3 years. I've got a lot of community background involvement on different boards and nonprofit work and things like that, and also as an educator. So I know community interests quite well, and I just went out with that message to talk to voters, you know, where they're at.
So when you talked to these voters as a Democrat, was that something that they would front as a concern of theirs? In other words, hey, you're a Democrat running in a community that elects Republicans. Why, you know, what are you doing on my doorstep, or what are you doing at my church? Was there a kind of open skepticism about you?
I never really felt that. Maybe a little bit from time to time, but I think people were more, maybe a sense of wonder, like, oh, there's a Democrat here.
We actually have a candidate, right?
And I heard one of your previous callers was kind of talking about how Democrats are hiding sort of in plain sight, and I get that feeling, because my campaigning went in Walker itself, my city, it's a very Republican area. Mm-hmm. And for me to go out and campaign, of course, it was a nonpartisan seat, but people can generally tell, you know, which way you're leaning by the topics that you tend to talk about. And it was like a breath of fresh air for a lot of people to have a Democrat come and talk to them.
Mm. So I have seen a lot on social media and in some other places since you won that really question the circumstances here, or I guess maybe put a lot on the circumstances here. Mm-hmm. Your opponent was a pretty problematic figure. He said some things that that were really offensive, and and there are people who are saying, well, that's why Carol Glanville was able to win, and she won't be able to repeat that if we get a better candidate, a candidate who doesn't make those mistakes. I wonder what your reaction is to that.
Of course there's truth to that, right? I mean, he did make some very inflammatory comments that a lot of people were, had a pretty strong response to. Mm-hmm. But the fact remains, this was not his first rodeo, right? This was the fourth time he's run for state house. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party, I mean, and if you look at his social media and his history, you don't have to even dig, right, to find this information. So it's a little bit, and the problem I think here is that the Republican Party knew exactly who he was and really, you know, didn't do what they needed to do to keep him from getting through the primary. And it just goes to show how the Republican Party in Michigan is really, you know, at least stymied by these extremists. I mean, he should have never made it through the primary, in my opinion. And that was one of the things that gave me fire to win. When I saw that he won and heard his comments, I just said, nope, that cannot happen. This cannot be the person that represents this area of Michigan.
And is that part of the message that you think Democrats need to be more upfront with voters, saying, for instance, you know, that the Republican Party, no matter what you think of their position on issues, has been, you know, hijacked in some cases and in some instances by, you know, people who represent pretty awful ideas and thoughts, offensive things. Is that an opportunity, I guess, not just in the 74th, but in other places?
It is, but I wouldn't say that. I mean, the Republican Party bears some responsibility, extremism aside, because when you look at the kind of legislation that even what you might call the mainstream Republican Party is trying to push through our state legislature right now, or, you know, the voter, so-called voter integrity policies and laws, which are really just thinly veiled voter suppression. I've heard a lot of people, you know, talking about the CRT and education. And so they're trying to get in there and dictate curriculum or set up the conditions for charter schools and private schools to be receiving public funding and things like this. So they're trying to undo public education. They're attacking women's, not just women's, but all comprehensive reproductive health care right now. And so I think, you know, it's easy. It's maybe nice to say, or easy for them to say, oh, that was an extremist. That's not us. But when you look at the issues that they're kind of talking about, well, you know, how separate is it? And are we on a slippery slope in the wrong direction?
Yeah. I want to take a couple of calls. And if you want to join us, 313-577-1019 is the number. Let's go to Terry in Detroit. Terry, what's on your mind?
Hi. Hey. Well, Stephen, I've had opportunities to speak to farmers in rural areas of Michigan, and I'm always delighted that they support immigration reform. Farmers are acutely aware, for example, of the challenge of having the workers they need. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I feel like that's one of the issues that we can build a bridge. You were talking about building bridges. The other thing I just wanted to say real quick was I have a cottage in a not urban area. And during the last election, my Biden sign in the front yard caused me to meet many of my neighbors. Many, many, many women stopped by and said, thank you for your sign. I'm so glad to see this. And so I do think there's a bunch of closeted Democrats all over the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Maybe their spouses are putting other signs in the yard, but some of the spouses, you know, might feel differently.
They're going and doing something else in the ballot box. Terry, I really appreciate the call and those points. Carol, I'm really curious about how the immigration issue plays in your district, in the rural parts of it, and whether you're seeing what Terry's seeing with farmers, for instance, supporting immigration reform.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly need to support immigration and the workers who are coming to our rural areas, and not just those areas, but just in general. You know, I think it is a place for us to build bridges. I appreciate Terry's point on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we definitely need to have more conversations around, in a sense. And again, getting away from the extremism of it,
yeah.
Right? These people are not, let me be clear, they are not coming here in droves to commit crimes.
Right.
They're coming here in droves to make money for their families and support a livelihood. I mean, you think about the reason somebody would leave their home for the complete unknown, not knowing the language, nothing, to come and work a hard scrabble job. That is a person who is just trying to survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need to stop this, again, this ridiculous idea that people are coming to our country to undermine and attack us.
Yeah. I mean, they are coming here for the very same reasons that immigrants from other parts of the world came here in droves, yes. You know, a century ago. It is mm-hmm. identical, other than their ethnic background.
Hey, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. Carol, quickly, I've got about 30 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Tell me what your strategy looks like in the fall.
Well, I'm going to keep doing what we're doing. It's a much friendlier seat for a Democrat. So I think it's about 52% versus 40%.
In the redraw, it's a better district.
But I really do feel like, I mean, people are ready. I mean, people, they want common sense. They want somebody who's going to talk to them about the issues that matter to them most in their quality of life and in their day-to-day. And they're tired. They're tired of this extremism. They're tired of the hate mongering and the vitriol. And they just, you know, are looking for, I think, you know, like I said, just this common sense, community-centered leadership that I bring.
Yeah. Okay, Carol Glanville, thanks for joining us on Detroit Today.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
That is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow, when we're going to talk to a Ukrainian novelist about preserving that country's culture during the Russian invasion. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We will talk again tomorrow.